Welcome again to another episode of Preacher's Cafe. I'm your host, Dennis McKenna from Shiloh Baptist Church. And today we have with us Minister Marcus Burnett, Minister John Holmes, and Minister John Cobbs. We're going to continue on with John 3:16. We had done two episodes in the past, but this is a very interesting book and a chapter. And it just has a lot in it. So, Minister Holmes, if you don't mind, introduce your person of subject here so we continue on with the topic.
So on this evening, we want to continue on the topic of John 3:16. I know we talked about it the last couple episodes, me and Minister Cobb. Now, once again, now today we have with us Minister Burnett to bring some more insight to this subject. The last time we were with you, we kind of touched on the idea or the term world and really what that means and the different meanings of the term world in Scripture. I'll let John pick up on that, and then we'll chime in when we talk about this term used or the word used as world in the Bible.
Thanks, Sean. Sometimes the word world is used in a sense of talking about the physical world. In other words, the world that we can see.
Cosmos.
The cosmos. And then there are other times when the term world is used to refer to a specific group of people. Mm-hmm. And when you read John 3:16, I believe that that's how that term is being used. Not so much talking about every single person in the world, but talking in a general sense from the standpoint that all those who are saved, in other words, all those whom God has elected, they can be found throughout the entire physical world.
So a representation of every nationality, but not every individual?
Exactly right. So you have every race, tribe, language, and those kinds of things. So from that standpoint, when the Bible speaks of world as it relates to those of us who are saved, or as it relates, better yet, let's use another word that's more accurate. When it talks about redemption, mm-hmm. and it uses that word, it's talking about only those specific people that God has chosen before the foundation of a world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4.
Can we stick with that word redemption for a minute, if you don't mind? Marcus, did you want to chime in?
I'll get in there in a little bit.
Okay, just give me a signal so I know that you're ready or, bust in as you see fit. So when we talk about redemption, let's elaborate on what redemption really means, what it stands for.
Okay, so redemption, again, we're speaking strictly now from a scripture point of view.
Correct.
Redemption has to do with those whom Christ has come and died for. In other words, he has literally purchased mm-hmm. those elect folk whom his Father mm-hmm. had chosen from the before the foundation of the world. Those folks, they're not special. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is they're not any more deserving of Christ coming down, dying for their sins, paying the penalty of their sins, which is death. It's the fact that God chose those people. Mm-hmm. And again, I hate to use the word those people, but he chose those whom he had elected. Mm-hmm. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the sole reason why he did that was strictly because it pleased him. In other words, right. He took pleasure. Mm-hmm. And out of all the people who will ever be born into the world for the entire period of time that the world will exist, mm-hmm. God chose this remnant, if you will, mm-hmm. From the totality of humanity. Mm-hmm. And he said that these are the people that I take pleasure in choosing. I like to use that.
No, I was just going to add to what you're saying, and I was going to kind of go back to its origin when we talk about really what happened in Genesis chapter 3, right. and redemption within itself. And what that word means is the term really means to buy back. Mm-hmm. or purchase. And when we look at the whole idea of creation within itself in God's purpose for creation was to create a people unto himself. Mm-hmm. He, you know, when you think about the chief end of man, you right. know, is to glorify God.
Right.
So what he does is his plan never changed, though man had fallen from grace. And then you have those who, those of us born after Adam, born into what? A sin nature, with this sin nature within ourselves, and have a sense of disobedience to God.
Right.
Yet and still, he had a plan that he would create unto himself mm-hmm. a people who would what? Be obedient and love him. And that obedience for those group of people are not found at this particular time under their own merits.
Right.
So this is where we get to this yeah. ability. Yeah, that's right. a better.
So what we're saying is that's the story of the Bible. Mm-hmm. The story of the Bible is God's redemptive plan.
Correct.
Okay. And so another way of saying for God so loved the world, you could very easily say for God so loved the redeemed.
Which would be proper, yeah.
It would, but he loved the world. Too, but it's
not as much as he loved
the redeemed. Right, but that's what I was getting to. It's a different kind of love. You know what I'm saying? So when we look at the, and that's what we have to drill down to. But when in the context of this verse,
context of this verse is mm-hmm. the redeemed who he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that one of the reasons why there may be, I don't want to use the word confusion, but I think that one of the reasons why this word world. Has caused so much, confusion, mm-hmm. Even among those of us who are Christians, because I think, especially when we look at, for example, 1 John 2:2,
or even 2:15, all the way, because it says love not.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Right. So where's the contrast? In 3:16, he says he loved the world, but then in 1 John 2:15, he says. He tells us what? Love not the world. So we know, now we have to try to figure out the difference of what he's saying. Is he contradicting himself? We know that's not true. So now we have to look at, are we talking about the same world or the world in the same sense?
Right.
And in 3:16, we're talking about the world, as you said, a group of people. And in 2:15, 1 John 2:15, mm-hmm. we talk about a world system that we should not love.
Right, what I was alluding to was you're good. What I was alluding to more so is the passage 1 John 2:2.
Okay.
And again, you can sort of understand why, it gets people all mixed up, mm-hmm. because as you see, John says, "Not for our sins." Again, mm-hmm. he's talking about Christ dying or Christ. Redeeming or purchasing, mm-hmm. A select people. When John says not for our sins, again, he did not die just for not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Right.
So right away now, when you say that, not only did he die for our sins obviously being a reference to those of us who are saved.
Saved, right.
But then he says, but for the sins of the whole world. So in a sense, John is using, he's saying the same thing, really. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he's emphasizing the fact, again, the world, not for the whole world. Because when you think about it, and let's just think about from a logical standpoint of who God is, that if Christ came and he died for every single person in the world, mm-hmm. and one person goes to hell. Mm-hmm. Now we're saying that his death was not efficacious.
Was not good enough.
Yeah, in other words, it wasn't enough. Okay. That there was something more needed in mm-hmm. order to save those. Mm-hmm.
Save the one that went to hell.
Exactly yeah. right. So again, if we look at it from a theological point of view, from a logical standpoint, if we believe that Jesus Christ died for everyone. Then what we're saying is that everyone goes to heaven. Mm-hmm. Because again, what's the type? The type is in the Old Testament. Once the high priest took the sacrificial, the blood mm-hmm. from the sacrificial animal mm-hmm. into the Holy of Holies, that blood represented the entire nation of Israel. It didn't represent Egypt. It didn't represent you know, the Moabites. It didn't represent anybody in Canaan.
Canaanites.
It only represented
Ammonites.
Anyone.
Yeah.
So just by looking at it from the typical standpoint, which would be the type, which we must always use as our basis for understanding, well, who did Christ really die for?
Mm-hmm.
If the high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, if that blood was meant to represent not just Israel, but Egypt, mm-hmm. the Moabites, the Edomites, and everybody else who was in the world, then we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have the Old Testament now, mm-hmm. the type, I should say, now contradicting the reality which we see in the New Testament. So I think that perhaps we have not spent enough time, I suppose, in educating our people about the significance of the word. Because when you think about it, how would that make grace amazing?
Right.
If Christ died for everybody.
Yeah, if grace was for everybody, yeah.
You know.
Well, it's available to everybody.
It's available.
But those only for those who believe in
trust.
And now it talks about capability.
That's the underlying of the sentence right there. It's available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's only efficacious for those who believe, who have been chosen before the foundation of the world. But I think of the sins as how it's affected not only just human beings, but the whole world, the rest of the world as well. The animals, the land, and the universe, etc. And sin has had a detrimental effect on those elements.
Right.
It does, yes.
Right, and I suppose that's the other thing that we kind of forget,
mm-hmm.
is the impact that sin had upon the world. Again, we're not talking now about a select part of the world, but the whole world in general.
Right, even the animals, the land, the weather, everything was impacted. Remember that the world was in a perfect state.
Right.
Prior to the sin force.
Right.
Prior to this. And we don't talk about this sin force maybe enough. And maybe we should sit there for a minute.
I don't know that it's not the sin force that we don't talk about. I mean, I agree with you that we may not spend enough time. But we don't spend enough time on the condition of the environment of the garden before the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And all the how things were laid down,
the harmony yes.
that was instilled, the peace,
mm-hmm.
the rest. I mean, all of that was changed once the fall took place.
You know, they were put out for a reason.
That's
because it would have been a permanent state if they would have drank from the tree of life.
And not only they as human beings, but the animals.
But just like the act by the human beings affected all of creation.
Yes.
The second act by the human beings would affect all of creation, yes. as a permanent state,
yes.
as well.
Yes.
Now, yeah. Does that have to do anything with man being dominion over all?
So what you see is, I think what you're alluding to is that we have that dominion, but because of the fall, that responsibility has been corrupted.
That is correct.
Okay.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yes. Okay. So it's been corrupted.
Yes.
And so the sin has affected how we have dominion.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think that even more so, what sin has done is it made everything up. It turned everything upside down.
Correct.
So while man had dominion, what sin did, in essence, what sin did was literally make that dominion impossible to be exercised. In other words,
rightly.
Well, not at all, because as you look around, we don't have dominion over anything. We don't have dominion over the animals. We don't have dominion over the nature or nothing like that at all.
No command.
Because
you don't have dominion over your wife.
But as a matter of fact, part of the curse
was that she would try to usurp authority over.
Right.
And we see that in society, yeah. We see this feminist movement where, you know, you see a lot of females being in the place where males should be or where males were designed to be, which brings dysfunction, you know. And though we still operate, yeah, but we operate in dysfunction, meaning outside the design that God has made.
And God had put that purposely. God man, wife, and everything else is below that.
Correct.
That's the order.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Well, let's revise it just a little bit. We have God, then we have Christ.
Well, the mediator, but we considering Christ God.
I know
what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. We can't consider Christ, although he is God.
He is God.
We're talking about the Father.
You're talking about the intricacies of the Godhead. Yes.
Yeah, but I think what Dennis was
being
alluding,
generic and saying God, man.
I think Dennis is alluding to humanity specific.
Correct.
We understand that God the Father, because that comes out in. In 1 Corinthians, was it 11?
Yeah, but I don't disagree with John because sometimes, things, you don't want things to be taken for granted in terms of the perfect order of the Godhead either. You don't want that to be taken for granted.
Right, right, right.
And I think it deserves something.
Well, I think that it goes back to what Marcus was saying earlier, is that sin has upset everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we have a problem right now is because as human beings, as humanity, however you want to phrase it, because we don't understand the divine order, then everything else is going to be in a rate.
But that's the whole problem with the world, even the heavens and the earth now, is a fight over power and order. Because now, even prior to humanity, you still had the same problem with the sin force in the angelic world.
Well, you did.
You did. Yeah. That's why one third of heaven, the angels were removed. Well, Cain, dwells here on earth.
And, that's true. That's true.
And keep, because that's the problem. The battle between good and evil in the spiritual realm.
That's true, and going back again, that's the reason why the world is as it is, and I'm going to say this carefully. That's the reason why God made the choice to save a few from the world. In other words, we all agree that God could have very well saved everything
all of humanity.
Or he could have done just the opposite, like he did with Noah,
uh-huh.
with the flood. He could have done either way.
But he did save Noah, so it's not the opposite. It's a representation of what he's still doing.
Right.
Because he did save, a remnant, the elect.
Right. But to that point, again, that's a perfect illustration, mm-hmm. okay? Of the idea about the world. God mm-hmm. saved the world. In this case, Noah represented that part of the world.
Correct.
Whereby he saved, whereas everybody else in the world, they perish.
And you could take what happened to Noah, take that back to the garden.
Exactly.
Because that same remnant come out of the garden that was saved. Okay, they were kicked out of the garden, but they weren't eliminated like they were in Noah's time. You hear what I'm saying?
I'm trying to follow you. Keep going.
He could have very easily, instead of just removing them from the garden, he could have started all over again.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
He had the ability to do that.
That's a good point.
But I think what you have to realize, and this is something I wrestle with, and I might be off course, that's why I'm mentioning it now. You got to realize this. Don't act as if God didn't know man was going to fall. Okay? That's why before the foundation of the world, it was a plan of redemption in place.
Okay? I think that's why we mentioned grace.
No, I understand.
Okay.
But that's why he didn't start over, because even if he started over, the whole ideal is to just like when you look at Romans chapter 9, what did he say about Pharaoh? He said, I elevated him so I can prove to the world that I have power over this situation. It's the same thing that's going on now. He is allowing Satan to shoot his best shot, and he's going to prove to Satan and all of us watching, the angelic beings and even all the humanity, and that he has power and he's sovereign over his creation.
But just the main fact that he told the people that I'm going to harden his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So God can do whatever he wants to do to man.
Right, but this is my point. It was no need to start over because everything just had to play out because he already had his plan in place. Because we can talk about Adam and Eve, but if it was any of us, it was going to be the same result. So if it started over, his plan hasn't changed because the whole point of the Bible is about centers around what his son. And all these events had to happen just the way they happened to lead up to the redemptive work of Christ. But so there's no need to start over.
But I don't think the need is not the question. All we were talking about is he had the option to start over. It wasn't a need because he's chosen us to be the contrast of evil.
Right. But remember this. Now, remember that the angelic beings was his creation too, right? And guess what? It's no redemption for them. None. Their state is permanent. But because that was not in the plan for them, it was never a plan of redemption for the angelic being, according to, and I know the scriptures don't expound on this a lot, but, you know, some things are stated and some things are implied. If it was, then we would have probably read about it. But the only thing you read about is a redemptive plan for what? Humanity. Because he could easily had a redemptive plan for the angel, for the fallen angels as well as humanity if that was what he wished, but he only had a redemptive plan for humanity. And then he talks about the punishment yet to come for those demons and fallen angels that were kicked out of heaven when in the final judgment.
Yeah, I see where you're going, and the only worry that bothers me.
Okay.
Is this worry option? Yeah. Like I said before, the only thing that concerns me is when we start using certain words. And one of those words is when we start saying that God has an option to do A and B and C. That's not the God of immutability.
Mm-hmm.
That's a God of capriciousness, a God who does things arbitrarily.
Trying to figure it out as it goes.
Exactly right. Nah. That's a God who has to have contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
That if Sean Holmes don't do this, then I got to do this over right here. Uh-huh. I think that's the thought of many when it comes to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
When we start talking about the world, in other words, Christ came to save the entire world, is that we're saying that God had the option, and again, this is just me. I'm not saying that that's the common thought, but I think that what's being said by that phrase is, you know, God wants to save the whole world,
but he can't. No.
Because you got these stubborn people out here who can't see who he is. They can't see that they are sinners. They can't mm-hmm. see the need of accepting his son, Jesus Christ, that he sent his holy son, mm-hmm. his only begotten son, who himself is God, clothed himself in humanity to save, again, just to try to save people. That's Arminianism. In other words...
Exactly. Would you say that again? That's what?
That's Arminianism.
One more time. That was what?
Arminianism.
Okay, thank you.
So... If that's the God of grace, if that's the God that we're serving, how can we depend upon him to do anything that he said?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he said he sent his son down for God so loved the world that he gave,
mm-hmm.
okay, his only begotten son, that mm-hmm. whosoever may believe in him shall not perish. So if he said that, did he really mean it? In other words, are there like strings attached to this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And we could probably say, yes, the string is whosoever believes. But that's not really a string. Why? Because God himself gives us the faith to believe in his son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is, in our current state, we don't have the ability to, one, recognize our need for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't recognize a need, it's like the man who is drowning. If he doesn't realize that he's drowning, what's he going to do in order to try to rescue himself? Nothing.
And that's the problem we have with humanity. We have this good person theology that because I'm a good person, God ain't going to send me to hell.
Well, yeah, and then you take that mentality and you put the word love in the mix, and that says he's going to love me anyway.
Well, and again... I mean,
that's that selfish... mindset that we have because we don't understand God's plan and who God is.
Well, also, we don't understand the term love.
No, what love are we talking about?
Right,
know, love from a human perspective or love from God's perspective? And again, we very seldom put ourselves in God's shoes. We don't know who he is. We don't know his plan.
Well, it's hard for us to put ourselves in God's shoes. That's
well,
that's
I don't, that, don't mean,
that ain't happening. But I know what you're saying.
Y'all taking things too literal.
Well, I'm just saying, if I
don't know if I don't know who God is, then how am I going to understand the words that he's written? One of the problems with this verse is that it's misunderstood because we don't spend time in order to find out the true interpretation. We don't know the story of the Bible like we've talked about already, his redemptive plan. When we look at these words, we're looking at them from an English standpoint versus a Greek standpoint, and we come away with the wrong meaning.
I totally agree with that.
I mean, it's just like the word believe.
Mm-hmm.
We take the word believe as a humanistic, where we come from in English language. But this word has more meaning than just simple natural belief.
It does. It has a whole lot of, there was a lot in that one word. And I think that perhaps in the upcoming session, we could go a little bit more into that. But again, I think that we perhaps have looked at the term world. And I think that we have a good idea, you know, as far as this concept and
right.
how it's used in Scripture, especially as it relates to redemption.
Right. So, yeah, when we look at this world, just to wrap it up, it's the difference between the cosmos, the world meaning its inhabitants, the people, because we are to love each other and God loves his creation. And then the world being systematic and how it's used in the different places in the Scripture. So until next time, when we come back, we'll come back to this subject once again and look at it from a different standpoint. But thank you for listening, and until next time.
So until that time, we'll bid you a good night, and we'll pick up next time on Preacher's Cafe. Good night.